Before I pray, if you'll go to 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2. So we're going to read here, 1 Samuel 2, we're going to read verse 2 and 3. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly, let not arrogancy come out of thy mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. So, if you would pray. So, Heavenly Father, just want to thank you for the opportunity to be up here, Lord. Just ask that you give forth your word and that everybody be attentive, that it be the word that you want everybody to hear, Lord. Just ask that you be with all your services and just ask that you be glorified in all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last time I did Sunday school, I went over attributes of God. And so just to give a bit of a recap, I'm going to go back in my notes here. So, just to give a bit of a recap, different things that you could say God is or that the Bible says that he is, and that was to not humanize God, but to show that we can know about God, right? Because we see God as this far-off entity that seems like it's unreachable, right? We can't talk to him. But your Bible does a very good job of telling you things about God because it's supposed to be a relationship that you have with him. So, just a couple things I had written down from previous, if you weren't here. He's alive. He's almighty. He's an author, a builder and a carpenter. He breathes. He's the creator. He's compassionate. And he's a giver. So those are the things I went over, and there's a lot more. And I did take a few of those things and put together a lesson, but I want to do it a little bit differently. Instead of just saying, well, these are things to know about God, right? Well, these are things that God is, and we're supposed to be more like him, right? Let this mind be in you, in Christ Jesus. So I'll look at things that describe God, and then look at how we can strive to also be like that. Okay, so first off, in our verse here in 1 Samuel, it says, there is none holy as the Lord. I think we can all agree to that, right? But talk about how the Lord is holy. So if you will, turn with me to Leviticus. Leviticus 11. Pages are sticking together this morning. So we're going to look here, Leviticus 11, verse 44. It says, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. So, I'm going to talk about this a little bit, but I want to just turn right over to Leviticus 19. We're going to read this to go right along with it. Leviticus 19, we're going to read, start here in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. So right here, once again, you have it saying that the Lord is holy. And I think we underestimate that, right? That means he's without sin, he's without blemish. The Lord is holy. But it says, be holy, for the Lord is saying, be holy because I am holy. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go without sinning, right? It doesn't mean that you're going to not mess up, but we should strive to be like the Lord, right? And This is written to the Jewish people to give you the background on that. And they are to sanctify, means to separate, to put apart. They're supposed to be separate from what the world is and what all these other false religions were of the time. They weren't supposed to have idols. They weren't supposed to worship other gods. The Lord is saying, sanctify yourself from that. Be holy because I'm holy. Okay? Well, I know that there's people out there that would say, well, how does that apply to us in the Christian life nowadays? That's Old Testament. He was speaking to the Jews. How does that apply? So we're going to go through a few of these verses. If you would, go to Romans 12. Guy gets the New Testament now. So Romans 12, we're going to read here the first three verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then I'll read verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we're being told essentially the same thing here, right? In verse 2, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So hopefully I'm speaking to saved individuals here today. But we're not supposed to conform to the world. We're not supposed to do these things, have idols, just like the Israelites did. Maybe worded slightly different. But it's essentially telling us the same things. Be put apart from the world. Because as people see us, they should see God. Not because we ourselves are holy, but because God is holy. And I think we miss that sometimes, right? We think how good we are, and we don't realize that we're only good because of God. And that may sound basic, right? But when it, at its very basic level, I think it's something that we need to understand. That's the only reason why we're holy, right? And it's because of God. So if we continue here, we're going to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. So, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So, for all these people who think, well, that was Old Testament, this is New Testament, right? They don't go together. This is a direct link to what we just read over there, right? And God's quoting that. Even though he was talking to the Israelites then, he's talking to me and you now. Right? So he says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, passeth the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversations received by traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you. So I'll keep reading here. Who by him do believe in God and raise him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So I know everybody's like, man, I gotta plan of salvation right there. And this is Sunday school. It's okay, we need to hear it, right? So what God's saying here is, right here in verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is a flower of grass, and grass withereth. The glory of man is nothing. We think it's something in the time, and then before you know it, it is gone. I mean, probably the most glorifying job here in the United States you can have is the presidency, right? You get 4 years, and then people either say, go on, get, or you're hired again. Right? But the most you can have is 8 years. It's not that long. So, but the glory of God lasts forever. Right? But the Lord wants us to set ourselves apart from these things and wants us to be holy because He is holy. If you will, go with Philippians 2. Philippians 2. We start here in verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Right? So that's the whole point of what we're looking at, right? You have these things that tell you this is God. This is attributes or personalities or the way that God is. And we should be striving to be like that, right? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. It's easier said than done. Right? It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. You're going to mess up. But that's what we strive for. So in verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we have God as holy, but he's also humble. Those two things can only go together if you're God. Because if you're holy, you think, oh, I'm good. I'm better than all these people. I don't do these things. Look at all these things I don't do. But at that point, you're not being humble, right? God's the only person that can be both those things. So he humbled himself, came down even to the death of the cross. In verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things of earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. So, I have read this, but have you ever stopped and thought about it? Jesus Christ humbled himself, but yet, if you read what we just read in verse 9, and it says, he's highly exalted, he has a name above every name. So, like, I like my name, Jonathan, right? Oh yeah, it's a Bible name. It starts conversations with people, oh yeah, it's a Bible name, right? My name is nothing to the name of Jesus Christ. And it says that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, all things in heaven and things of the earth. That's power. And yet he humbled himself. So, let me ask you this. In a position of work, position in family, when you're leading something, you're organizing a group, we think, oh yeah, look how great this is. I organized this group. I organized this, or I'm a manager, or you know, I'm in charge of all these processes. Jesus is in charge of everything. And he still humbled himself. So that's why those two things can only go together with God. We're supposed to be humble. So, this is what your Bible says about being humble, though. So, James 4. We're going to read here James 4, we're going to start in verse 5. Ye that lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton, ye have nourished your hearts. And I don't think that's the right place. Wrong chapter. Sorry. Same page right across from each other. So I was in chapter 5. So you guys are right. James 4, verse 5. So it's verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. So right here you have, your Bible talks about the spirit of flesh, right? That spirit that's in you, and it lusteth to envy. Okay, that's us in our natural state. That is us without God. That is us when we're not giving ourselves over to God. Even if you're saved, unfortunately, we still have that flesh that wants to come out. And it wants to do bad things and think bad things and do all this craziness. But we have to give ourselves over to God. But then it says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Because we all think we can do all these great things, right? So something breaks in my house, oh yeah, I'm good at fixing that. And then when I can't fix it, I have to get humble real quick and be like, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I thought I could fix this, right? But if you're not humble about it, it's really hard when you're not able to do something or you're proven wrong. You just get mad, you get defensive. You don't even want to talk to that person anymore. And that person is trying to help you. I don't care what this person has to say. They don't know what they're talking about. Right? You're not going to fix the problem, but he gives the grace to the humble. Right? Like, you know what? Maybe I don't know what I'm doing. Is there somebody that knows what they're doing? Right? And I know that's a small example compared to what we're talking about, but it's something that we hopefully all can relate to. But look here with me in verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You're going through a hard time. You can either get mad. Well, I shouldn't have to go through this. I'm better than this. Or you can humble yourself, and the Lord will lift you up. I don't know about y'all, but when something happens, and I need to be lifted up, if I've been real proud about it, that's hard. I just want to get mad. This isn't right. This isn't just. How could this happen to me? The world's not fair. You know, all these crazy things that you hear people say. And unfortunately, you hear this from a lot of unsaved people. They get mad all the time about everything. It could be the smallest thing and their day is ruined. I mean, it could be the smallest thing in their day. You could have a great day, all these wonderful things happen to you, and this little thing happens, and it's like, this always happens to me, every time. The whole day is ruined. You're like, what in the world? You just missed all this good stuff that just happened to you, right? And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't guilty of it. It happens, but that's why it says here, the Lord gives grace to the humble, and he'll lift you up. So the Lord wants us to be humble, wants us to put down our pride. Let's go to Proverbs. So we're going back into Proverbs 16. So Proverbs 16, we're going to read verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. I'll read verse 19 as well. Better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud. So, you ever heard pride go before the fall? It's pretty common. Everybody knows that. It's a saying. It came from your Bible. They got it slightly wrong. So, pride goeth before destruction and haughty spirit before a fall. So, the moment you let that pride in, look how great I am. Look at this that I built. Look at this that I did. Look what I've accomplished. And you think to yourself, man, no one could have done that but me. It's a good thing I was here. You know the next thing that happens, you're going to fall. Either you're going to mess up, or that thing that you just created is going to get destroyed. Right? So we've got off the coast Hurricane Lee. I don't know if anybody's been watching that, right? Went from tropical storm to Category 5 hurricane, world record setting, terrifying hurricane in the matter of like 12 hours, right? Something, I know that's slightly wrong, but you understand what I'm saying. In 24 hours, this thing became a destructive force of wind. Whatever that hits on land, if it were that strong, would be completely destroyed. But I guarantee whatever was destroyed, these men sat back and said, man, look what I built. Look what I did. And God can make something that quick in less than 24 hours that will completely wreck whatever you build and humble you real quick. Right? And then praise the Lord, it's supposed to weaken and hopefully won't hit anybody. That's what we can pray for. But that's just an example that we can look to right now and show how you can be humbled. And it can happen in all kinds of ways. Right? I was telling somebody that, oh yeah, if you ever need help, I'm pretty good at fixing things. And I was able to help with a few things and do that. And I did. I thought to myself, like, man, you know, I've had these problems where I learned with my dad. I'm able to save a lot of money by fixing these things. Not even joking, 24 hours later, my lawnmower broke. Oh, yeah, I can fix that. It's been a week and a half. It looks like Jurassic Park in my front yard right now. I can't fix that thing to save my life. And I refuse to take it to somebody because I know I can fix this thing. So yesterday, after about 3 hours of wanting to flip it upside down and throw it and hit it with a wrench, right? I told Matthew, I said, you know, I think I'm just going to borrow Dad's lawnmower and take this to somebody to fix it. It took me a week and a half, but pride goeth before a fall. But we're going to go back to New Testament. If you'll go to 1 John, 1 John 1. We're going to read here in verse 5. So 1 John 1, 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. So this is a side note, right? We're looking at different things God is. God is light and in him is no darkness. So that's just a side note. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, I have a little bit of a side note. I do want to give you guys a little background on this. So, God is light. In him is no darkness. And if you look here, and I'm just going to read it again, and I'll kind of find my place here. Verse 5, it says, this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. So, interestingly enough, it doesn't say we are light and we're not to be darkness. It says we need to walk in the light, not walk in the darkness. Because we have this sin nature still, we need to walk in the light of God, right? We're not supposed to say, oh, I'm holy, I'm perfect. We have to realize that you have to give yourself over to God and to his Holy Spirit and realize what you should and shouldn't do. I wrote this down a little bit, just so I would have my place here. But, and this is sad to me, so I want to tell you a little bit of this, kind of give you background of the story. And I don't want you to think I'm talking anything about myself. I'm giving you this as an example that recently happened. And it happened before. When I went pastor, and I was not a new Christian, but new to getting out there and witnessing, right? Because it took me coming here to realize I knew nothing about the Bible, except the very basics. And Pastor and Micah working with me and showing me stuff. So we would talk to people, and Pastor would get in these conversations, and they would start talking back and forth. I'm listening. And I'm stepping back because I don't want them to ask me any questions. I want all the questions to go to Pastor. I'm just listening. I'm learning. And so I end up learning a lot, but one thing that people say is, well, I don't like talking to Christians because they're hypocritical, right? They're arrogant, all these things. And Pastor always had these great rebuttals. And, man, how does he know so much scripture off the top of his head? Where does he know how to go? It was great. He'd have them pull out their Bible. He'd pull out his Bible. They'd read it together. It was a great learning experience. And I was able to take those experiences and go in the workplace and have some of these conversations. But I would hear this a lot about how arrogant Christians are. And that bothers me. You know, they think they're better than everybody else. They're arrogant. I keep hearing this. And it bothered me because to get saved, you have to humble yourself and realize you can't save yourself. But it seems that some Christians forget that. Oh, now I have Jesus. I'm great, and everybody else is here. And that's the perception that a lot of Christians give off. And that's a sad thing. And then nobody wants to talk to them. Oh, I want to be like you. The whole reason why God had the Jewish people sanctify themselves, set themselves apart from the world, is so that people would see there's a difference with those people. How do we have that? That's what I want. So when we live our lives, can people who are going through these hard times say, I want that. How do I get that? Because they should see God through us. Not because we're good, but because God is good. And so going back to this, where I work now, my boss uses this as a joke and a dig, and he's making fun of me, okay? But it's fine, I love it. So he makes fun of me. He doesn't call me Jonathan at work when he needs something. He yells down the hall. He doesn't say, Jonathan, I need your help. He just yells, Moses. So everybody that was new to the building after I started, there's a lot of people that literally thought my name was Moses. And when I would talk to them, they'd go to send me an email. They'd look you up by your name, and they don't find anybody named Moses that works in the building. So then they'd have to find out my real name is Jonathan and wonder, why does he call you Moses? So I love it because then I get to be like, oh, here's the reason, right? It gives me an opportunity to talk about things. And it started, he was making fun of me because I go to church and I got all the gray up here, you know. It is what it is. But one of these people that literally thought my name was Moses for the first month that I was there, I'm now working directly with that young lady. And we go back and forth, and she's been there for some Bible conversations, just kind of in the background. And she made a really sad comment. She said, you know, Jonathan, I have a couple questions, and we were talking back and forth. And she told me, she said, you're the first Christian I've talked to because I find enjoyment to tell all the other Christians that I talk to. When they say something or do something, I say, well, that's not very Christian of you. And she's like, I haven't got to do that to you yet. And she pointed, like, I'm waiting, right? But that's a sad thing. So my response to her was simple, though. I says, well, you will. You'll get to say that to me. And then she looked at me like I was crazy. Because she was trying to give me this compliment, right? But I was like, oh, no, it's going to happen. Because I'm going to mess up. But we have to be honest with that, right? She's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, so then I got to take her through all these things and realize that I'm no good. I'm a terrible person. And it's, no, you're not a terrible person. But I said, you don't think I'm a terrible person, but I am. And hopefully if you're saved, at some point you had to realize you were a terrible person too. Don't make me feel like I'm alone up here. I'm over here telling y'all I'm a terrible person, and I'm just like, everybody. And he's up there teaching? I don't know about this. No, but at some point we all had to admit we couldn't save ourselves and that we were sinners, right? And there's a verse in your Bible that everybody looks at as such a negative, and I would like to look at it real quick. So Romans 3. And I believe this has to do with humbling yourself as well. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Most people read that as a negative. And it's true, it's not necessarily the happiest verse in your Bible. But just think about what that says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means me. That means all of y'all. This young lady I was talking to. My boss who calls me Moses. Right? We've all failed. But why that's good is because when you got saved, you can look at this and you have, oh, I can't walk into y'all's church because if I walked in, the walls would fall down. I'm such a terrible person. I can't come to church. I'd probably burn up if I walked in there. No, no, no. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I am no better than you. And I'm still not. It's only because I have to give myself over to God's Spirit, to walk in that Spirit, to sanctify yourself, to set yourself apart from the world. But that has to be done daily, and we still mess up. So, I'm sure, now that I've worked directly with this young lady, even though she may not have vocalized it, she's thought, man, that's not very Christian to that guy. She probably has thought it. Because I guarantee you I've messed up. I've been frustrated. Some people messed up at work, and I'm just like, oh, man, what are these guys doing? And nobody's around to listen to me. I'm reading an email or reading something on the computer. I'm talking to it like it's going to talk back or fix my problem. Right? But this is what we do. And in that moment, that real quick moment where you let your guard down, you say, you do something, and you're like, man, I probably shouldn't have said that. Maybe that wasn't a good testimony around this person. Right? Oh, what is this guy thinking? You're putting yourself above that person, right? So, I'm sure she has thought it. But this right here, I'm going to keep reading, though, because it does get better, right? So, look here, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing to do with us, it's through His grace. Verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, and that's His blood, to declare His righteousness for the redemption of the saints that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say unto you at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And then I really just wanted to read the beginning of verse 12, and it says, where is boasting then? Because you had to 100% completely rely on Jesus. And there's almost a dig that he goes, so where's your boasting? Right? These people who are real proud, I can do all these things, I'm the best, can't save yourself. Where's the boasting now? Okay, it's okay, it doesn't bother me. I get salvation out of it. I'll humble myself to the Lord and know that only He can do it. So if we're going to boast, let's not boast on ourselves. Let's boast about Jesus Christ. And we should get excited to talk about Jesus. I mean, He saved us, right? So that's the excitement that we should have. I'm going to go through a few verses. I don't have a whole lot of time, so I'm going to try to hit them really quick. But just pulling a Micah, I went with holy, humble, and now we're going to go with God being honest, right? So, John 14:6. All right, John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the truth. Turn a couple chapters over, John 17. Read here in verse 16. This is Jesus praying. And he's praying about his disciples, but there's an interesting thing he puts in here in verse 17. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy truth, thy word is truth. So if you want truth, you come to the Bible. It's God's Word. And it says, as thou hast sent me unto the world, even so have I sent you, sent them unto the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so setting apart myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth, that his disciples will be set apart to the truth. And then it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which also shall believe on me through their word, we have their words that they recorded right here. So you can look at this and say, well, Jesus was praying about the disciples, but he was also praying for us, right? That we be set apart through truth and through his word. So Proverbs 12. If we have truth, what is the opposite of truth? There you go. I thought I was going to have to answer my own question there. Thank you, Zane. I said, oh, man. I didn't want to have to call in the class. So Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truthfully are his delight. So God's saying, don't lie. Seems easy. It's not. People love to lie about everything. And the smallest things too. And sometimes you get around these people and you know it's a lie, and you're like, what did you gain from that? There is literally nothing. You just did it to do it. Just to do it. So same chapter, verse 17. We're going back a little bit. So verse 17, it says, he that speaketh truth shows forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. And in verse 19, it says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. So this goes back to men's glory, right? Typically, why are people lying? They want to glorify themselves. They want to tell a story. They want to embellish something, make themselves seem bigger or better in the story, right? Men's glory fadeth like a flower of the grass. Right here it says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but the lying tongue shall be for a moment. So in that moment, maybe you look great. But if you told the truth, that lasts forever. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, we're going to read here in verse 5. So it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil, concupiscence. That's why pastor has to be here. Covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So once again, we are supposed to be working to be like Jesus. Put these things off, and then it gives you a list of how you should be. And if you go through that list, most of those you'll say, well, that's easy. But if you're really honest, there's a lot of those things that we all need to work on. I have a few more, but I do want to go back to the verse we actually started in, 1 Samuel 2:3. And we know verse 2 talks about God being holy, but I never really touched on verse 3, and that's what I want to touch on right now. So 1 Samuel 2, let's look at verse 3. So it says, talk no more exceeding proudly. So that goes right along with our arrogance. Let no arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. And I wanted to end there, because we don't get to weigh actions. That's the Lord's job, right? We can judge things by the Bible, but we got to leave ourselves out of it. We need to be like the Lord, and then we leave the rest to him. So, anybody have any questions? All right, let's pray. In the name of prayer real quick. So, Heavenly Father, want to thank you again, Lord, And just ask that you be with us and that we strive to be more like you, Lord, and just put down the flesh and the old man, and that we put on the new man, Lord. And just ask that you be with everybody bringing forth your word today and tonight as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.